So this year, as most of you know, we're studying the Four Noble Truths, and this month our focus is on wise action, that aspect of the Eightfold Path. And last week, Suze gave us a really great introduction to this topic, and which really was helpful for me, and she offered some really nice definitions of wise actions. For example, actions that are beneficial to ourselves and to others. Actions that help to liberate the mind from hate, greed, and delusion. And actions that move us towards freedom from suffering. And help others also to find freedom from suffering. And she also talked about how following the five precepts is an important component of wise action. Refraining from killing other living beings, refraining from saying what is not true, refraining from taking what is not freely given, refraining from intoxication with drugs and alcohol, and refraining from sexual misconduct. And a very similar, slightly different way of expressing this is the practice of the three restraints, restraining from doing harm, restraining from taking what is not freely offered, and restraining from sexual misconduct. Now, starting with these precepts and restraints is definitely a wonderful place to focus our intentions, our attention when we're working with wise action. And it's really good for us to refrain from activities that cause harm to other people and to ourselves. And you know, when you think about it, if everyone in the world adhered to the precepts, even at the most very, very basic level, you know, not killing other people, not lying, not stealing, not abusing drugs and alcohol, and not sexually exploiting and abusing other people, that alone would just really eliminate so much suffering in the world. It would be a great thing. And if we're already doing these basic things, there are often various aspects of the precepts where we could take them even deeper. And Suze talked about this last week, you know, doing things like refraining not only from taking material things that aren't offered, but also refraining from taking too much of others' time, their opportunity to speak, their chance to have attention, and so forth, or acting with greater care for other forms of life, not only humans, so we don't harm or kill them. You know, noticing times when we aren't really lying, but we're kind of exaggerating or distorting the truth, maybe to save us from embarrassment or to impress other people. So we can do those things. And really, if we just took as our mantra for this month to refrain from doing harm and really thought about all our actions in that light, that alone would really be a big task, and we'd have a lot to think about and a lot to do. But as Sue said last week, wise action isn't only about restraint, it's also about actively cultivating the good and doing what's beneficial. And so for this month, I've been thinking about putting wise action into that kind of a larger context and remembering that wise action isn't only this list of behaviors that it's good to avoid, but along with avoiding harm, it also includes actively doing good. And in the past, a lot of the times when I've heard about wise action, and often if, you know, in a talk that's summarizing the whole Eightfold Path, so there's not a lot of time to go into it, I've come away with the idea that wise action is basically following the precepts. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's really a good thing. But I found that thinking of it only as following the precepts could lead me to take a kind of narrow view on this step in the Eightfold Path. And it was easy to kind of think, well, oh yeah, okay, following the precepts, Yes, I know about the precepts. Right. Okay, got that. And yes, I know I ought to be careful about this or that, and I'm not quite doing all I could with this particular one. Yeah, okay, good, good. But then because of this feeling of, oh yeah, I already know about this, I might not be really be all that motivated to follow through and do very much more than what I'm really doing, more just sort of, oh yeah, right. And I think it's easy too when we think about the precepts and things we should restrain from as to get this kind of habit of thinking about wise action as this set of rules that we have to obey and set of things that we should not do, kind of like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And if we're so focused on that kind of a view, it can encourage some rigidity in the way we approach things. Maybe a lot of self-criticism because we're not doing things as well as we should. Maybe criticism of others because we think they're not doing things as well as they should. Or sometimes if we're the kind of person that doesn't really like a lot of rules, some resentment maybe, and some desire to rebel maybe. And none of those attitudes are really all that helpful. So I think it's really good to remember that wise action comes out of wise view and wise intention. It's not something we do so much out of a sense of duty or obligation or because we're afraid we'll be punished if we don't do these things, but more out of caring for ourselves and others, out of interest, out of love. And so for me, it's easier to take that kind of attitude if I consider not only the behaviors that are best to avoid, but also kind and loving actions that I can do. It's sort of like if you're trying to change your diet, rather than always thinking about what you can't have, it can be really helpful to think about the good things you can have, fresh blueberries or strawberries or those nice ripe tomatoes at the farmer's market. So, thinking about the good things as well. And the Mangala Sutta that I read at the end of our meditation session is a nice place to go to get some sense of the different wise actions we can take that are really blessings for us and blessings for the people around us. And you might remember that the list included some things like associating with wise people that are a positive influence, living in a suitable location that supports you and your practice. And this could be a location that's calm and peaceful or safe. Maybe for you, it's a location that feels tidy and free from clutter, so you're not distracted by that. Having a good education and a skilled profession is a blessing. So this really emphasizes the value of knowledge and skills. And this can apply not only to a profession, but to all the different kinds of knowledge and skills we can acquire in our life, that doing this is wise action. Caring for one's family, for one's parents and relatives, practicing generosity, behaving ethically, developing patience, humility, gratitude, and contentment, kind of like, going back to working with the paramis, studying and practicing the Dharma, developing a stable and peaceful mind through meditation, and having contact with and guidance from monastics and other spiritual teachers, understanding the Four Noble Truths, and realizing Nibbana. It's a big and wonderful list. And so it's good to remember that when we're doing things like these, those are wise actions. And also it's kind of inspiring to think, what might I do today that would be wise and beneficial? So that's something I've been thinking about, widening my scope to also think about wise and beneficial actions. Another thing that has been on my mind is something that came up in our teacher's discussion before we started our series this month. And this is the fact that in a lot of ways, the guidance for wise speech applies to wise action too. So in our speech, we're encouraged to cultivate truthfulness, kindness, beneficial speech, speaking in ways that are helpful and useful, and timeliness, speaking at the right time and place, and considering the impact of what we say. And we can cultivate the same qualities in our actions. We can ask ourselves about the actions we take. Is this action kind? Is it beneficial or useful? Is it timely? Is it truthful or honest in the sense that, you know, am I doing it sincerely and without some kind of ulterior motives? And I think this was mentioned. I think Lauren mentioned it in our discussion and maybe Sue's a little bit too. But I think this kind of advice is really helpful, and I've been finding it really helpful over the past week, you know, as I go through the day and I'm doing various things to just kind of think, you know, is this beneficial? Is this kind? Is this the right time to do it? Another thing that also came up in our teaching conversation that I've been thinking a lot about is that unwise action might not always be taking an action, but sometimes it can be not acting. So we need to consider not only what happens when we act, but when we don't act. You know, sometimes our unwise actions aren't actions themselves, but failure to act. You know, the times when we don't do what would be useful and beneficial. And I have to admit that this is an area that really comes up a lot for me. And I have plenty of those kinds of situations where I don't do what I probably should do or what I intend to do, but instead I delay or procrastinate or avoid or put off, you know, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes this is because I really don't have the time to do the thing when I thought I would do it, and it just isn't really fitting into my schedule or the timely thing to do. But a lot of the time it isn't really that. It's more because I don't really feel like doing that thing, or I'm afraid I won't do it right, or I won't do it well enough, or I don't know how to do it, or it's not going to go well. So doubt, worry, fear, and just plain laziness all get in the way. And so I don't do what I would do. And so this is an area that I've been working on and thinking about a lot, this tendency to not do what I know would be beneficial to do. And in connection with this failure to do what is beneficial, something else has come up in my mind, and this is the idea of frivolous actions. In the guidance for wise speech, we're encouraged to avoid frivolous speech, which is speech that is, you know, silly and pointless and is really just a waste of time. Well, there are plenty of actions that could fit that description too. And while I'm not always sure what qualifies as frivolous speech for us as lay people, where a lot of our speech is, you know, kind of just establishing social connections, I think at least for me, I have a pretty good sense of what qualifies as frivolous actions. And for me, those are those kinds of, you know, relatively mindless, not especially useful activities that I tend to do when I want to avoid doing something I probably should be doing. You know, it might be playing some game on the computer or reading some sort of fluffy novel or binge watching a show or, you know, those kind of things that occupy the mind but aren't really of very much substance. And it isn't that those kind of frivolous activities are really so bad in themselves. They're, not really harmful, and sometimes they're really an appropriate thing to do. There are times when we feel tired and stressed and need some relaxation, or just have the urge to do something that's light and fun. Those kind of things can be really helpful and nice. The problem is more when they get in the way of our doing something that would really be useful and beneficial, and when we use them to avoid and to procrastinate. And I do find myself doing that more than I would like to do. It's something I've been trying to pay attention to because I feel like it's a place where it's easy for me to get into trouble. So I've been trying to ask myself when I'm doing something like that, is this a helpful thing to be doing right now? Is this a good time to be doing this? And also asking myself, why are you doing this right now anyway? What are you trying to put off? What are you trying to avoid? And considering this and bringing it to mind, I'm definitely more aware of my tendency to indulge in these kind of frivolous actions and to not do what might be beneficial. And so far, I would say my track record is kind of, up and down. I find that, I might go for a few days of, really doing a lot of pretty wise and useful actions. And then have a day where it feels like all I really want to do is this kind of mindless stuff. And so a lot of frivolous actions come up. So it's a sort of up and down. But I think just being aware and bringing these things to mind and considering our actions, is this wise? Is this beneficial? Is there something else that it would be better for me to be doing, or is this something that's fun to be doing for a little while? It really helps, to think about things in that way. We won't always be perfect, but having awareness on our actions and how they're beneficial or not so beneficial, I think in the long run really should help us. And another thing I'm trying to keep in mind as I go through this process, and that I think it's really important for all of us to think about as we work with wise action, is to be kind to ourselves as we do this. It can be really easy to get self-critical and to have unrealistic expectations and try to be really a perfectionist in all of this. So we need a lot of kindness, and we need a lot of patience, and we need balance. We need to really bring a sincere effort to acting wisely, but at the same time, it's helpful not to be overly anxious and overly expecting that we're going to do things perfectly, overly critical, especially condemning ourselves when we don't do what is right or what is wise. We do the best we can. We notice when we're making mistakes and we learn from our mistakes. So having that kind of attitude, I think, is a very good thing as we go through this month and begin to consider our actions. So my thoughts for this month are really, thinking not only of what to avoid or actions to restrain ourselves from, but kind and beneficial actions, positive actions that we can do. To think also of the guidance for wise speech, kind, beneficial, timely, truthful, or sincere. And also to consider those actions that are not so much positive actions, but are unwise because of non-action, where we do frivolous actions rather than useful actions. So those are my thoughts for this morning, and I'm hoping that maybe some of these resonate with you as you begin your own exploration of wise action for this month. So thank you for your kind attention. And so now we have some time for breakout rooms. So if you wish to stay, and I hope that many of you will wish to stay, you can have some time to talk with each other in a small group about your own experience so far working with and reflecting on wise action. So I'll break you into groups of three or four, and we'll have about 15 minutes for our discussion. And so I'd encourage you to share your reflections and your experiences with wise action this past week or so as we start. And, are there any things about it that especially resonate with you? Do you find that there's a particular focus that you're looking at? Where is your emphasis? Maybe thinking about this idea of emphasis on kind actions versus emphasis on restraint and how to keep a good balance. And, or whatever else is coming up for you on this topic. And remember the guidelines for discussion. Wise speech. Give everyone a chance to speak without interruption. Listen with your full attention as much as you're able to do. Maintaining confidentiality within the group so if people share something very personal, they can feel safe. Avoid giving unsolicited advice. Speaking kindly. And enjoy your conversation. I'll put you into your rooms. Welcome back, everybody. Nice to see you returning. And I hope that you had some interesting conversations. Now we have some time for you to share with the larger group anything you would like to share about your discussion or your own thinking about wise action, any comments or questions you might have. If you would like to speak, an easy way to let me know that is to raise your virtual hand in Zoom, and then I know, and then you can unmute yourself and talk. So the floor is open for anyone who would like to share. Oh, okay. Christy has her hand up. Please go ahead, Christy.
Thank you. Great topic as talk as always. We just ended with something though that is really sticking with me is what do I do to avoid conflict? In terms of, for me, I'll do pretty much anything to avoid conflict, not contact people, not go in environments, blah, blah, whatever. And in terms of beneficial, non-harming behavior, avoiding conflict is not good. Now, sometimes it is because it's going to be useless to have a conversation, whatever. But we're doing ourselves a harm because we're not allowing ourselves to be fully present with other people and to share who we are. It's this idea that if there's a conflict, myself, my big self, is going to be challenged. And that's very precious to me. I don't want anyone to think ill of me. And just, it's interesting that that's where we ended up on that conversation about avoiding conflict and all the non-beneficial behaviors we will create to avoid that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Christy, for bringing that subject up. I think it's a really good question and a really good topic. And I sure do not have any easy answers to that question. It's really difficult. Aside from saying that, and there are times when we do have to say something, when it's true that not acting is actually harmful. So, yeah, I mean, it's important, I think, to come from a place of kindness and to come from a place of wanting to connect. But at the same time, sometimes what we need to say, often it's talk more than action, is really difficult. So, yeah, I don't have any easy answers on that. And I welcome any thoughts and comments, too, if others want to chime in. And Suze has raised her hand, so perhaps she also has some thoughts about it.
I really appreciate, Christy, you raising that. And for me, I go back to right view and the belief that I'm going to know what's going, that we don't agree, there's going to be conflict, I know how this is going to turn out. And so don't know mind is really useful. And having a little trust that when you need to take care of yourself, you will know how, and that kindness is still going to be available to you even when a person says some horrible things. And I'm reminded, I have a computer consultant whose views on almost everything are different than mine. And he's been my guy for a lot of years. And we've discovered some areas of agreement. He runs an apartment building and I have a whole bunch of commercial tenants. And we have found some areas of agreement, and not agreement so much, but like moral compass. You know, how he treats his tenants are real similar to how I do. So it reminded me that I don't know real. I think I know where he's coming from about everything because he checked certain boxes. You know. He's checked these boxes. I know what he's going to think about everything. And I was really called up short and reminded, I really don't know. And that I find is a helpful antidote to avoiding conflict. So I share that from my experience and give it a shot.
Thank you so much, Suze. Yeah, that's really important to remember, not to assume that we know what's going to happen and that we know how this person is going to respond, because it could surprise us. Let's see. Tessa.
Hi. That was my first time successfully using the phrase.
Ooh, good for you. Yeah.
And I just wanted to share, I recently went on a retreat with Lila Tanya Reed and Eliza Day. And during the retreat, the question that they would keep circling back to every day was, what would love do? And that question was just so useful, it, really with everything, but like with right action, right effort, just like sitting and like, how do I respond to this thought, to this pain, to whatever? And so I just wanted to share that that question because it's been so useful for me. What would love do?
Thank you so much. That's a perfect question and a really good question for our topic this month. You know, it fits right in with that. Asking ourselves, is this kind? Is this beneficial? But it's has a tone to that language that I think might really touch people's hearts to ask it. So thank you very, very much for sharing that. I think I'm going to try to use that as well. Candace?
One of the things that we were talking about that I've been working on is patience. When we want to help people, but we need to know that it's the time that they can receive it, that they want the help right now. It's something that I've been And I've been playing with the paramis and that, and you know, because it is patience, and but it's also it's aversion sometimes that I don't like how things are for them or for me or how it's affecting me. So I want to help right now, so that it, and it, and it's not the time for me to jump in and do it. And so that's been a really interesting thing to watch. You know, why I need to practice patience with this desire with only certain people to jump in and fix things. So yeah, that's it's a good one for me. It's a big practice for me.
It's big. And you also bring up that question of, you know, motivation. What is the motivation for doing this? Is it complete, purely to assist this person, or is it, you know, maybe to relieve my discomfort?
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That kind of brings up that sort of sincerity in actions. Marjorie.
Yeah, so I was, well, I had really nice conversation with Candace. That was really great. I was really struck by what you were saying, Lyndall, about the frivolous actions and noticing. It's definitely a thing for me, and noticing when it's not just taking a break or relaxing, when it's downright avoidance. And and I've been doing that quite a bit lately, because there are some things that I need to do that I really don't want to do. And I don't know, I didn't come to a solution to it, but I think I really liked the question that Tessa brought up of what would love do. I like that as a discernment. I think I'm going to try that on, see if it helps when I know that I'm avoiding. So thank you for the talk and the camaraderie here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's definitely one for me. And you know, that question, what would love do, also makes me think about how, you know, my first impulse is to say, okay, stop this time-wasting activity and get down to it, when maybe what's really needed is more exploration of why am I so anxious and resistant to this thing. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And Lauren.
Yeah, that question, what would love do, just reminded me of Jack Kornfield's talk. I don't know how many of you heard it last Sunday, but people were asking questions and making comments, and he several times asked, what if you loved them, or what if you, kind of like, what would love do? And their answers were quite amazing, and you could really see the shift. So I think I appreciate being reminded of that, Tessa, and it's a good question to keep in mind for many things, I think. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah. I'm also, thank you, Lauren, and I'm also reminded of that same talk when he was talking about Gary Snyder and how he was giving advice on working to alleviate effects of climate change and protect the environment. And he told people, you know, do it because you love it. Do it out of your love for the earth. And I think that's a really good thing to think of with a wise action, too. You know, this action, do it out of love.